Today I'll be reading Proverbs 4, 10 through 12. Proverbs 4, 10 through 12. Hear, my son, and accept my words, that the years of your life may be many. I have taught you the way of wisdom. I have led you in the path of uprightness. When you walk, your step will not be hampered, and if you run, you will not stumble.
Well, good morning. Here we are, another blessed day to gather together as the saints of God. May this be important to us. May we realize what we're doing. May we realize the tremendous privilege that we have today to peacefully come and to exalt our God by our voices and by our deeds. What a blessed, blessed people we truly are. Let's embrace this. I'd like to talk about dads today. I wonder why. It is that time of the year. I don't always talk about the dads and moms on Mother's Day and Father's Day, but you know, there are those times when it just seems the good thing to do. And I'd like for us to think of a few minutes about dads and really how critical dads really are. And not cover all the bases today. Of course, there are many subjects to cover regarding fathers, but for us to look at about three biggies, and especially one biggie that dads really need to be thinking about with their children. We realize that dads are critically important. We have certain statistics given to us that show some, you know, very important things about dads like this. Even after controlling for income, youths in father-absent households still had significantly higher odds of incarceration than those in mother-father families. And you realize, you know, dads are pretty important to what's going to happen to a kid's life. And if dad's not there, the possibility of going to jail goes up. That says something about dad, doesn't it? Researchers using a pool from both the U.S. and New Zealand found strong evidence that father absence has an effect on early sexual activity and teenage pregnancy. Teens without fathers were twice as likely to be involved in early sexual activity and seven times more likely to get pregnant as an adolescent. Now, that says a lot, doesn't it? Pretty incredible. Researchers at Columbia University found that children living in two-parent household with a poor relationship with their father are 68% more likely to smoke, drink, or use drugs compared to all teens in two-parent households. Teens in single-mother households are at a 30% higher risk than those in two-parent households. Mom and dad, pretty important, right? And, of course, dad is also very, very important in this relationship. Fatherless children are twice as likely to drop out of school. In other words, dads, you're pretty much a piece of concrete, right, for your child. You are a pillar. You are foundational. And we know that mom is. We know how important mom is in this relationship. I know how important Donna has been in the rearing of our children. Incredibly important. I give her the credit and the thanks for so much of what our children are. But we come back to dads and we realize that God designed this family unit, didn't he? God made dads. God made moms. And God wants moms and dads to be understanding their responsibility and to be fulfilling that responsibility. So let's talk about some things. Three things. So much more to say. But three very very basic and important things that dads need to be keeping in front of their kids. And if you don't do this, who is going to do it? Mom might do it, but you know, it's up to mom and dad. Both mom and dad need to be really, really involved in this. You know, we come to the subject of marriage. And this is a difficult one because probably most of us feel somewhere along the line that we're very inadequate, you know, that we feel that we fail as a husband. And sometimes perhaps a mother to think about, you know, teaching things to her children when she feels she's failed, or a father thinking, I've kind of failed as a husband, and how can I be a teacher to my children? You know what? You are the teacher. You're the one that's going to be instilling some very, very important things. And we have to go forward, even though we're not always pleased with where we've been, in what we have been, perhaps in our relationships. Our children are depending upon us to learn about some very, very important things about their lives. And marriage is one of these things, of course. Ephesians 5:25, we're told, husbands, love your wives, just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her. And we learn, of course, that God invented this thing. God made this thing. It's up to us dads for us to teach our children that God is the creator. God is the controller of marriage. God is the one that makes the regulations as far as marriage is concerned. God is behind all of this. And 1 Peter 3 and verse 7, husbands likewise dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered. In other words, God wants husbands to treat their wives in a very special way. He says, treat them here as the weaker vessel, giving honor to a weaker vessel. And we've all got tools in the shop, right? You know, us guys, we know some of these tools we can just, like a hammer, we can throw that thing away, around, but, you know, we have some measuring instruments that we give more honor to, don't we? You know, things with little dials on them and stuff like that. We treat those very special, and we have a special drawer for them. And not everything is treated the same. And you know, when it comes to our mate, here's someone that we give very special attention to. You dwell with your mate according to understanding. You dwell with your mate giving honor, a very strong sense of honor. You lift your mate up. You treat your mate in a very special way. Children should be able to see these things. Children should be able to understand that you are trying to do a very special thing in your marriage. And you might fail a lot, may not be perfect, but you should be instilling this message within your children that marriage is something God has created, it's something I consider very important, and I'm going to try to do the right thing and the good thing and try to love my mate, and I'm going to try to give my mate honor. And you know what? Kids watch their parents, right? We understand this. Kids are going to be learning from their parents what mom and dad do. And kids are learning from dad. And we have that responsibility. Perhaps even to teach our children to be a better mate than we are. Isn't that really our goal? Isn't it to teach our children to be more than we have been? I want my children to be more than me. I want them to be better mates. I want them to be better citizens. I want them to be more faithful to the Lord. I want them to be more of everything that God wants them to be, more than I have been. And that's part of the prayer for our children. We want to instill these things, and we want our children to be great mates, right? What are you building your child to be? They're going to learn how to treat a mate from someone. Are they going to learn it from their peers? Are they going to learn it from watching shows, you know, on TV or on the device, you know? They're going to learn how to treat a mate from somewhere. Are they going to learn it just by their natural inclination and the lust of their flesh? They can learn it from you. They can learn it from you. And they can learn it by watching you and how you behave towards your wife. Moms, how you behave towards your husband. Your children can learn these things and learn the right way of behavior. They have to learn this from us. And, you know, the practice of the fruit of the Spirit really is something. You know, we think about Galatians 5, 22 and 23 and 19 through 24 and the fruit of the Spirit. We apply this to God, but really the fruit of the Spirit is something that we apply on the face of this earth in obedience to God. The fruit of the Spirit is love and joy and peace and long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Are these things that we bring to our own lives, are these things that we even bring to our own marriage? Do we bring a sense of goodness to our marriage? Do we bring a sense of long-suffering to our marriage, a sense of love? Do we bring a sense of joy to our marriage? See, what kind of an attitude do you have as a mate? Are you building things? Are you destroying things? Because mom and dad, you realize you're supposed to be a builder, but your behavior sometimes is destroying all the good stuff that you might want to happen in your child. Your behavior might be destroying that. How important it is that we realize our role in what we're doing with this little plant that we get to nourish. The little plant we get to see grow up, and the little plant we get to see if it's bending a little bit, we need to bend it back the other way We need to take that role very, very seriously and be filling that plant, that child, with everything as far as marriage is concerned, with everything godly that we possibly can. And we need to teach this also, the durability of marriage. We remember Genesis 2:24, that God has joined husband and wife, and they are one flesh. And Jesus said in Matthew 19, whatever God has joined together, let not man do what? Put asunder. Durability of marriage. Where are kids going to learn this today? If they just watch their devices, where are they going to learn? You don't learn durability of marriage by watching your culture. Do you learn durability of marriage by watching the parents of your friends at school? That's not where they're going to learn durability of marriage. You know where they can learn durability of marriage? In your own family. In what you do. That a lot of times mom and dad are not real happy with each other. Things are a little difficult, but you know what? We are in this thing together and we're going to make this thing happen. And you know, I will make it happen, and sometimes it's difficult, but I can find the strength that I need to be what I need to be, sometimes even in difficult things. And sometimes marriage is difficult. Philippians 4:13. Hey, my son or my daughter, I want you to know your marriage sometimes will have some rough spots. You trust in Jesus, you follow Jesus, you do the right thing. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And you know, you can find the strength to be what you need to be in the weak spots of your existence or in the weak spots of your marriage. And these are things that we should be teaching our children. We should not let them go unequipped. Is one of the most important things that they're going to do in their lives, get married. One of the most important relationships that they have in this life, marriage. We need to equip them, don't we? And Dad, you and I can actually have a lot of influence upon whom our children marry, right? Also, are you talking about any kind of guidelines for your child as to who they're going to marry? Oh, she's kind of cute. Now, what do you think about her? She seemed like a nice girl. You know, sometimes that's about as far as it goes. That seemed like a nice girl. Well, define a nice girl for me. What goes into a nice girl? Is this a godly girl? Is this someone who loves Jesus Christ? Is this someone who knows how to control herself? Is this someone who is self-disciplined? Is this someone who has true love down deep inside? Tell me about this nice girl. Nice girl isn't enough. But Dad, you are the one that can train. Moms do this, of course, too. But Dads, what an opportunity to talk about these things, you know, with your kids. To see some individual that might look, you know, man, she's really cute. This person on TV, she's really cute. Do you think that would make a good mate? What's your commentary on it? Let's see. She's just gotten divorced. She's 19 and she's been divorced twice already. What kind of a mate is she, you know? And, you know, she just got arrested for drugs. What do you think about this kind of a mate? You know, a commentary. The commentary upon where our world is going. We can do so much to help our children in understanding their role, their responsibilities about mates. And again, where are they going to learn this from us? And is this not part of the training and the bringing our children up in the way of the Lord, the admonition of the Lord, the ways of God, to understand His ways, equipping them in all things godly so they can have some tools with which they can attack the world and have some hope of a, quote, successful life, unquote. So very, very important. What are you teaching your child about marriage? Are you teaching them, don't worry, you're going to fail? Are you teaching them nothing? Or are you teaching them by your behavior there is a way to act that God approves of and God wants, and that this is how marriage should be conducted by Christians who love God? One more thing. Let's talk about this. I've tried to teach my children, and Donna has too. What if you don't marry? Is it okay not to get married? You know, we live in a time when a lot of kids, you know, they understand, I don't want to get married. But, you know, other kids sometimes feel like I have to get married. Sometimes Christian families, their, you know, kids are raised and, well, of course I have to get married and I have to fulfill my motherly responsibility, you know. You know, actually, God does not command anyone to get married. And we've tried to teach our kids that, you know, if you don't meet a good godly man, don't push it. Don't marry someone who's ungodly. Don't make a mistake. You know what? You can live a single life and be a very joyful and happy person. Amen? Because does your happiness depend on your marriage? Is it your marriage that produces your joy? The answer to that is no. In fact, sometimes it's kind of a challenge to your joy, right? That's something that lives within us. And every child should know, you know, I'm not waiting to get married and then I'm going to have real joy in my life. Well, there are some icing on the cake things to a marriage that can be good and fun and productive and meaningful. But life is not all about getting married. Life is about your life with your God and the joy you have in your God. And live that first. And if you don't marry, it's all right. A second biggie is teaching our kids about money. We realize that money is a big problem in our world. Money problems are huge. It causes a lot of stress. We have so much stress that we deal with our mind and our body, even stress in marriage. How many here have had stress in your marriage because you're trying to pay the bills? You know, I know that a lot of you would raise your hands. You know, this can be a very difficult thing, or you get behind, or you get in debt. And now you have new stresses on the marriage, you know, and marriage doesn't need any more stress than what it already has. And if you start building stresses through money problems, well, that's a problem. And we realize that there's a high tie to money problems and suicide. And that's a very sad reality. Jesus, of course, taught us how to think about this life and about our possessions. Matthew 6, do not worry, verse 31 through 33, what we shall eat, what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. The Gentiles are concerned about all these things. But he says, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. You'll get things to drink, you'll have things to wear, you'll have things to eat, but he says, don't worry about it. Now that doesn't mean don't make any preparation. That doesn't mean don't expend any energy to make things happen in your life. Of course, there are biblical principles that would show this, but what he says is don't worry about it. You don't let your life become a matter of anxiety over money. Whether you have a lot of it and you become anxious, or you're in debt and you're anxious. We can have anxiety either way, can't we? We can sit there, we can worry about keeping it, and we can worry about losing it. We can worry about not having it. But we can worry, 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 right? You know, we need to teach our children some very important trust issues about life, about the use of money. And we need to realize that whatever we teach our children, very likely, most probably will reach even into their elderly years. Let's remember this. You're forming this little plant and trying to keep it straight. However you allow it to be deformed is going to be what it's going to look like 50 years down the road as a tree. And wow, look at that tree. It's got a weird bend in it. You've ever seen some real deformed trees, you know? They didn't have the right upbringing as a young plant. They got deformed and they grew up very deformed and they were eventually cut down deformed as they were adult trees. What you do or don't do with your children can affect your children long after you are gone. What you're teaching your children about marriage, what you're teaching your children about money, their relationship with God, what are they going to be doing when you're dead and gone 30 years from now, 40 years from now? For me, I want to know when I die, when I'm dying, my children will love the Lord their God long, long after I'm gone. And the year might be 2060. And they're getting pretty aged themselves, but they're going to be serving the Lord. We have to think that way, don't we? I want to train my child, nurture my child in such a way that they will have a productive and victorious life, that even when they are elderly, they can even have the right thinking of how to approach being elderly and all of the challenges that come. You as a parent can do that now. And that's what you should be doing. Instilling these principles that will be values throughout the entire life of your children. So that when they're 75 and 80 years old, they're living some victorious principles in their lives. Because they were principles that were instilled when they were a child. By whom? By mom and dad. What a blessing. See that? Wouldn't you love to have your child blessed by you when they're 80 years old? Still getting mom and dad's blessings. That's a beautiful thing, isn't it? So we have a very important role to fulfill, don't we? So we need to teach this, even, you know, regarding money and the future here and what's going to be happening to our children in many ways, but specifically here from the standpoint of money. How to deal with money, the attitudes towards money. Ephesians 4:28, let him who stole steal no longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give to him who has need. And there is Paul's admonition. I know we could talk about, you know, budgeting. We could talk about, you know, don't spend your money on this. Make sure you save this much and all this. What Paul says, here's why God gave you a job. He gave you a job so that you will have something to give to other people. How many of us see that role? See that responsibility attached to our income? And is that something that we are training our children to do? To be responsible with money, not from the standpoint of budget. Yeah, do that too. But responsible with money to use it as God said to use it, thinking about others and being benevolent and contributing to the needs of others. Sometimes that can really hurt. But these are things that we have to teach our children, because if we don't teach them, then their devices teach them. Their friends teach them. Or they learn their own lessons the hard way, and there's nothing like, you know, spending all your money and getting a credit card and spending all that up, and then getting another credit card and spending that up, and all of a sudden being in debt, and then losing your job. Well, this is a direction a lot of people go, right? We can teach our kids a better thing than that. Here's the most important one of all. What can we do as dads? And here's the basis of everything else. We can be examples of a core love for Jesus Christ. Okay, did we all hear that? What's the most important thing that you as dad can do for your child? You can be an example of Jesus Christ. Jesus gave us an example, 1 Peter 2 and verse 22, for to this you are called, verse 21, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his steps. You follow in his steps, and then what do you become to others? You become an example, and this should be true of all of us. But we know the power of example, right? That's so important to our lives. We're all familiar with the power of example. I remember when I was a kid, you know, way, way back when, I remember when cigarettes were advertised on TV. And anybody, you remember that? But I also remember that there was a TV commercial that was promoted by a council that wanted to tell people not to smoke. And here was this man with his child sitting there, sitting next to a tree there on an outing out in nature, and it shows dad taking his Marlboro or whatever, you know, flipping it up and taking the cigarette out of the box and lighting it up. And he puts the box down next to him. And the next scene is that they shift to the child, and the child picks up the box. And that's the end of it. But we all knew where that was going. If you want your child to smoke, what do? You smoke. What is your child very likely going to do if you smoke? He very likely will smoke. You know, sometimes kids overcome the examples of their parents in a lot of different ways. But we realize the power of an example. There's the power of an evil example, and we could go into Israelite kings and fathers and even David, and the bad examples that many parents were to their children. And of course, we realize the power of a good mentor, of a spiritual mentor, someone who loves God. For a child to grow up in a household and he sees two people who love their God, they can learn this, see this, Every day, mom and dad talk about godly things. Mom and dad are trying to do the right thing. When there are challenges, children can see that mom and dad were trying to think right. When there were injuries, mom and dad were trying to do the right thing towards even those that didn't like them. You know, these are all very important things. And no matter what, they could see that when things were hard, they loved their God more than anything in this world. And they would never leave the Lord their God. Many of you wish you had parents like that, right? You're a Christian and you did not have that. What a blessing and what an advantage for a child to grow up as a tender plant and to be given all the nutrients to know God, taught God, to grow up faithful to God, to serve Him all of life. What a great example this is. Is this one of the great things that a father can do? Wow. What a privilege it is for us to have this little baby in our hands realizing I am now going to form to the greatest degree, to a large degree, what this child is going to be for the next 80 years. What an amazing thing. I have power over this child to destroy it or to promote it towards God and teach it the way of God. That's what my example is. And we know the kids know us, right? They know the real dad. There might be a dad here, you know, you're the dad that shows up and everybody thinks you're a certain kind of dad, but your kids really know what you are, right? Your kids know what you are. They know your responses. What does dad do, you know, when things don't get his way? Does he just blow the cork? You know, is he angry? Is he just throwing things? Is he screaming? And all, you know, all kinds of other ungodly, satanic, you know, wicked things. Well, they see those things. And someone might come to church and they look real pretty. And someone looks, you know, real spiritual. But yet, it's going on at home. Do these things happen? Yeah, this is reality, you know. Is this what a dad wants to teach? A child knows what dad is. Is this what what dad wants a child to know and to learn about his own life? And that's the big thing. Do you want your child to learn your behaviors? Your negative behaviors? I want my children, as I said, to be more than I am. I don't want them learning my negative behaviors. We have to think about this and what we allow ourselves to do in wicked ways. They know your motivations, what really drives you. They know your time usage, where you spend your time and what's really important to you. They know your priorities. They know your money habits. They know your weaknesses and your strengths. They've seen or not seen you pray, and they know the depth of your prayer. They know your service to others or the lack of it. They know your concern for the lost or your lack of concern. They know your hope, what kind of hope you really have in your life. Your children know these things, don't they? You see, this is so important as fathers, to live a life that is consistent in God, a life that is sincere in God, and not just an image. Because children know. And the model that they're going to follow is not the model that dad wants to present to people. The model they're going to follow is the model that they know as their real dad. And what is it that they see? All of us as fathers and mothers need to work on this sincerity of our faith. The purpose of the commandment, 1 Timothy 1:5, is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith. And that word sincere is unfeigned. It's without dissimulation. There's no hypocrisy in it. It's the pure thing. It's the real thing. A faith that is a real thing. Philippians 1:10, he says, approve the things that are excellent that you may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. And that word sincere is the idea of something that is judged by the sunlight. And you can see the idea, you know, way back when they didn't have great interior lights. You know, go inside the house, it gets dark, doesn't it? You know, back then, light the candle, even in the daytime sometimes. Is this a real thing? Here's something of value. It's pretending to be something of value. That's its claim. But I need to really find out what it is, so what do? I go out into the sunlight, and now once I'm out in the sunlight, now I can see it for what it really is. The point that he's making is that our faith needs to be sincere one is judged in the sunlight. In other words, is it the real thing or is it a fake? It's easy to live a fake faith and have some checkbox things that we do that look like a real faith, but it's not a real faith. Do we understand that? Are you real, mom and dad, or are you not? What's going around in the heart, and what is truly coming out of your mouth, and what is truly coming out of your actions? That says it all. God encourages us to be sincere, individual, the real thing, a faith that is incorruptible. How vital this is. And you know, there's just so much to say in this, but as we are the example of Jesus Christ, what we really are doing is teaching them all things godly that they know, that they need to know. And my example, you know, I need to be someone who knows who I am. I am God's child. He created me to love Him. He created me when I sinned. He brought me back to Him, and He created me to live with Him for all of eternity. We've said that many times in our identity, right? Who am I? This is who I am. That's something that fathers need to be teaching their children so that they can quote that backwards. Who are you? I am created by God to be loved by God, to live for God. Who are you? I am created by God to be loved by God, to live with God forever. He loves me. Who are you? This is who I am. And you know, fathers, we need to be getting this idea into our kids' heads. You know, it's not what the world says about, that's not important where you are with the world. That's not your identity. I want to fit in the world. Wait a minute, that's not your identity. It's not who you are. I don't want to displease anybody out there in the world. That's not who you are. You're something else. Who you are? Someone created by God to live for God. Live forever with God and be loved by Him. That's who you are. Apply that everywhere that you go. When life is hard and you want to be like somebody else and you want to take the easy road. No, remember who you are. This is identity. It's extremely critical as to what your life is going to be. That's up to you and me, Dad. Okay? This is up to you and me and Mom to make these things happen. But we have to teach our children this core example of Jesus Christ across the board if we want to raise that little sapling to be a successful tree and to be that strong tree in its elderly years. Well, of course, Dad, the Bible speaks to kids. Honor your father and mother, Ephesians 6:2, and Proverbs 23:22. Dads, this still bears upon you. You know who can teach your children to respect mom and dad? You can. If you ever hear your children not giving respect to your mother, to their mother, what should you be doing? You need to be dealing with that, don't you? That needs some discipline in there somewhere. That needs to be approached. It is not going to happen that you're not going to have respect for your mother. It's not going to happen that you're not going to have respect for your father. You are going to have respect. And we're going to make this happen in a loving way, gentle way, firm way. But sorry, no disrespect is allowed in this household. And that should be the way it is from age 2, when you can easily cut it out, to age 6, to age 14. This is the way it is. And dads, it's up to you and me to make that happen. But meanwhile, God tells all of the kids, you know, you better think about mom and dad from a standpoint of respect them. God wants you to respect your parents. And that's something a dad needs to tell his kids. It's not just me telling you this. God is telling you this. Remember who you are? God is telling you to have this respect for mom and dad. And you need to make this happen. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she is old. Great advice for kids in a day when there are so many peers that are so wicked, in a day when you turn on your device and you're trained by the media of your time. What a sad case that is. You know, so what a sad thing to be trained by the media. Many, many people are. No, listen to your mom and dad. Listen to some wisdom. Follow out the wisdom in life. Be someone who's got a head on your shoulders, someone who has stability, choose the right direction, listen to what mom and dad say. Maybe they have something to say. That's a good thing. But there's a lot of depth and substance in their lives. Oh, I guess we have the greatest father of all right before us, don't we? Why are we here today? One of the reasons we are here is to exalt our great God and Father. Here we are as His children, to whom He has extended His arms. He created us. He has loved us. And He wants us to live forever with Him. That's who we are. What a loving Father we have. In the Scripture certainly notes this in such a beautiful way for us. He has loved us, given us the greatest gift of His heart. He desires to be with us in eternity. He's teaching us like a parent teaches his children to make the most out of his children. He's disciplining us. He protects us. He guides us. He's forming us. He gives us security through the most difficult of journeys, including death, so that I can be secure in the arms of my God, even when I've laid my head down for the last time. All is well. That's the kind of father we have. Should be what we're seeking to be as dads for our children. Substantial, meaningful, full of love. Life foundations. What a great God we have. Where are you today? Talked about dads, but of course we're talking about spiritual principles, aren't we? We're talking about bringing the things of God into our hearts. And maybe you have been thinking about these things, you're not right with God. Maybe you walked away from Him as a Christian. Maybe you've been doing the things of the world. You need to stop that. You need to come back to your Father, your God. You need to serve Him more. Maybe you've never become a Christian. There's water right here. It's all ready. It's warm. Won't even take your breath away. But no matter what, Jesus Christ died for you. Don't you need to come to Him, enter His death, be baptized into Him, and have the resurrection of life to live forever with God? Oh, don't waste your opportunity. This is it. Today's opportunity, obey the Lord. If you need to do that now. Yes, together we stand, as we sing.